Let's pray together. In your heart, take this moment, if you would, and thank God for what your heart's feeling, for his presence, for his grace, for his mercy, his peace, for a father who loves you that much. And whether your mom's here with you or there with the father, thank God for such grace. Lord, I join these prayers on this very special day. Ask you to show us, Lord, how we can give those gifts that matter most, not only for our moms, wherever they're living today, but for our souls, for our nation, for our world. As we thank you, love you, and praise you in Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Well, happy Mother's Day. If that's new information to you, gentlemen, I don't know if it's going to be a happy Mother's Day or not. I don't know. We're going to pray for special grace for those of you for whom that's a new thought. There are probably still some cards, you know, at the drugstore, probably still, wouldn't you think? Probably so, but nonetheless. So, for those of you for whom that's not a surprise, right? So, what did you get your mom for Mother's Day? Well, here are some choices. If you had happened to purchase a $100 ticket on this horse in yesterday's Kentucky Derby, your mother would be $8,000 richer today. Did you see the race? I mean, incredible, right? I mean, they were saying at the time, this is Rich Strike, by the way. Rich Strike wasn't in the race Friday morning. Another horse scratched. It got in with, I think, just a few minutes left, I think, even to get in the race. They said yesterday it was the longest odds in the history of the Kentucky Derby, 80-1. Read this morning it was actually second longest. There was something back in the 30s or something, even a little longer odds. But if you can imagine, what an incredible deal, right? 80-1. And so maybe that's what you got your mother. Probably not. Probably not. I'm guessing. Perhaps not. Maybe you saw the article in the Wall Street Journal this week about gifts for mothers. Maybe you got her these sunglasses. Or not. I wouldn't have gotten my mom these sunglasses. Plus, they cost $420. Yeah, for those sunglasses. I'd say that's $410 too much. But, you know, what do I know? Maybe you got her this, is this Yves Saint Laurent? How do you say that? Something like that anyway? This tote thing? Yeah, well, that's only $3,990. If I got that for Janet, she'd bring it back. She'd get the money back, I think. Maybe you saw the Neiman Marcus ad for Mother's Day that was out this week. I got actually Janet some flowers for Mother's Day, but I didn't get this vase for them. It's a lovely vase, and it's only $18,830 for a vase. I think she'd be $18,000 richer today. She'd be turning that vase right in. Maybe you got her a watch that's in the Neiman catalog for only $37,000. Or maybe you got her this diamond necklace. I don't even see diamonds in there, but there's diamonds in there someplace. That's only $39,000. So if you didn't get her those things, well, it's too late now. Think about next year, I guess, right? So as I'm sure you know, we have a Mother's Day because of Anna Jarvis, who in 1905, was the champion of creating a day like this to honor her mother. But I would suggest to you that Mother's Day was God's idea before it was Anna Jarvis's idea. That, in fact, it's God's idea not just for the second Sunday in May, but for every day. And that there's some biblical principles inside today that are transforming for us, for our families, even for our country, for our society. We're going to look at two Mother's Day gifts God wants us to give, whether our mothers are here or whether they're home. My mom went home to be with the Lord in 2008. This is a bittersweet day for me every year, as it is for those of you whose mothers are not with you. I have learned over the years of pastoring that not for everybody is Mother's Day an easy day. There are some whose relationship with their mother was not what they wished it to be. And then there are those of us, of course, who have wonderful godly mothers we're celebrating here with us today. But whatever your context for this day, there are two gifts that God wants us to give that I believe are empowering and transforming every day of the year. Two gifts our culture especially needs to give. So let's look at them. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The word translated children means offspring, has nothing to do with age. It simply is directed to people who have parents, all right? All of us, obviously, all of us are included here, children, offspring, no matter your age, no matter your parents' age. The word obey in the Greek actually means to listen under. It's a picture word. It means to sit under, to submit to be yielded to the speech of, the teaching of, the words of, is what the word obey means. Obey your parents in the Lord. It's a spiritual commitment. It's a thing we do. And the more godly they are, the more obviously we're able to do this, right? Now, if you have to choose between Jesus and parents, we have to choose Christ. Remember the apostle saying to the Sanhedrin, we must serve God rather than men. There are times in some people's lives, obviously, where they have to make that choice. So that's why he says in the Lord. Obey our parents, be submitted to, be surrendered to. Present active imperative. It's an ongoing command. This is a requirement. No matter how old you are, no matter how old your mother is, no matter whether she's here or in heaven, obey her teaching in the Lord. To the degree that you can obey her teaching and obey the Lord, obey her teaching. That's what the text says. The other gift, verse 2, honor your father and mother. Another present tense, imperative, ongoing command, honor, do, respect. The first says what to do. The second says how to relate. Honor your father and your mother. That was shocking in the day. In Paul's day, understand the father, patria potestas, power of the father, had absolute power over life and death for his children. The father could have the children sold into slavery. Father could even have the children killed. We've got a letter from a Roman soldier writing back to his pregnant wife saying, if it's a boy, keep it. If it's a girl, throw it out. That's the power fathers had. So for Paul to say, honor your father and mother is a shocking thing in the day. But that's God's command. Obey and honor. Do what they say. Honor who they are. Obey the person. Honor the position. Are the gifts, Paul says, to give. Now, why are those so vital, not just for a Mother's Day sermon? Why do this? Three reasons. First, this is best for all of us. The text says, this is right. This aligns with what is right. This does what is right. Did a little research this week, parental authority in the context of our culture. Saw one particular psychologist, Dr. Dominic Maglio, who's responding to the adolescent violence of our day, the mass shootings of our day, all of the issues that you see every day, and he says, the moral decay of our sacred institutions and weakening authority figures' power in the family and in our traditional institutions is where the responsibility lies. Another counselor, speaking about child depression, child-on-child murder, underage pregnancy, obesity, violent antisocial behavior, preteen alcoholism, at the highest level since records began, offers this explanation. This is Dr. Arik Sigmund, fellow with the British Royal Society of Medicine. Authority is a basic requirement in children's lives. I'm 63, about to be 64. I have lived, some of us, many of us, have lived in a world that has decided there is no such thing as authority anymore. There's just your truth and my truth. You have your ways, I have my ways. Post-truth was the word of the year back in 2016. You have no right to force your beliefs on me starting at home. Well, my question is, how's that working for us? How's this idea that we don't need to obey and honor our parents working for us? How's that going in our culture? How's that going in our society? Do you know there are churches all over the country today being picketed by pro-abortion activists on Mother's Day? There's a group, not going to get into politics, but a group that announced what they're calling a Mother's Day strike to protest the news over the week about Roe v. Wade and the Supreme Court and all that. And they're picking Mother's Day, ironically, as the day to do that. When you talk about, we're not going to get into this, but if you looked at where the culture's headed, the trajectory of the culture, would you say we're doing better or worse? In a society that's decided, I have my authority, I have yours, and my mother and my father are no longer the authority in my life. If, on the other hand, I will obey my mother's teaching in the Lord as long as I live and honor her position as long as I live, and everybody else does the same, where will we be? So the first reason is because it's best for society. The second is it's best for you. Paul makes this statement. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you. That has to do with quality of life, and you may live long in the land. That's quantity of life. Now, it's no ironclad guarantee here. We're not saying that. Remember that the righteous Abel was slain by the unrighteous Cain. We're not saying that. Not saying obey your mom, honor your mom, and you will never have a bad thing happen to you. It's a principle. It's a pattern. That your quality of life, your quantity of life will be affected. I saw a commentator on this text this week named Albert Barnes who made this statement. Those who are the most obedient in early life, other things being equal, have the best prospect of living long. This occurs because obedient children are saved from the vices and crimes which shorten life. No parent will command his child to be a drunkard, a gambler, a spendthrift, a pirate, or a murderer. But these vices and crimes, resulting in most cases from disobedience to parents, all shorten life. And they who early commit them are certain of an early grave, he said. Now, he wrote that in 1895. What would he be saying today, right? There's a story about a missionary family living in the Congo, in the jungle, looking something like that. Their son, Philip, was out playing under a tree one morning when the father came out from their home there in the jungle, saw his son, and immediately shouted at him, "Philip, get on the ground now. Fall to the ground now." His son obeyed him instantly. Then the father said, "Crawl to me now." And he crawled through the jungle to his dad. Got up on the porch, turned around, looked back, and saw the deadly 15-foot snake that was hanging from the tree right above where he'd been playing. Paul's point is, the Bible's point is, if we choose to obey and honor, it's best for society, it's best for us. And then last, it's best for her. From the time we discovered that we were having our first child, from the time Janet discovered she was a mother, to this present day, her first thought in the morning is these kids. Last thought at night is these kids. Doesn't matter how old they are, won't matter how old we are. The well-being of your children is your mother's passion. It's her heart. It's how God made mothers. That's the gift to the rest of us, right? So let me ask you, is there a place in your life where if you were to obey your mother in the Lord, something would change? Something that if you were to obey what you know your mother in the Lord would want you to do, something would change. Well, that's a terrific Mother's Day gift. If there were a way you were to honor your mother even more than you are, what would that look like? If your mother's in heaven, the questions still remain. My mom's been with Jesus, as I said, 14 years. But everything I do, on some level, reflects on her. And even today, honoring her in the Lord, obeying her in the Lord, are gifts I give her that I also give myself. And I give everybody else as well. So if you're still looking for Mother's Day gifts, these are the two I recommend. They are beyond price. They are transformative for us, our moms, and the culture in which we live. Close with this as an encouragement. Saw this week a story about the Statue of Liberty. When Bartholdi, the French sculptor, created this iconic gift to America, the question everybody was asking was, well, who was the model? Who was the one after which he sculpted this iconic image, this face? He wouldn't say to the day he died. He would never answer the question. Did he have a model? Who was his model? How did all of that happen? How did he sculpt this iconic face on this remarkable work of art? And so then some art historians began doing some research. They found a picture of his mother, Charlotte Bartholdi. And they did an overlay. And they discovered that Bartholdi created a tribute to his mother that will last as long as the statue stands. What gift could we give today and tomorrow is the question. So let's pray about that. Take a moment, if you would, and ask yourself first, if you were to be even more obedient in the Lord to your mom, what would that look like? Would anything change? Maybe not. Maybe so. That's a terrific Mother's Day gift to give yourself and her and the rest of us. Is there a way you could honor her? A new way, a different way. Something you could do. If you had to honor your mother more than you are even now, if somebody made you do that, honor your mom even more than you are now, what would that look like? That's your other gift. Father, thank you for all the ways that in Jesus' power, in Jesus' love, in Jesus' grace, you will enable us and help us as we give these gifts to ourselves, to our mothers, to our memories of our mothers, and to your glory. May it be so on this special day. I pray for me and us in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. God bless.